Welcome to The Workplace, a podcast by Cal Chamber. I'm Erica Frank, Cal Chamber's Executive Vice President and General Counsel, and with us back on the podcast today is Jennifer Shaw of the Shaw Law Group. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, Erica.
Hi. So today, Jen, I thought it would be really fun and entertaining, as much as this topic can be while we are all isolated and taking lots of walks and enjoying all that family time that we get with each other, on some practical HR considerations for the remote workforce, because our work habits, our workplace has certainly changed dramatically over the last several weeks. So Jen, I'm sure that you've been receiving quite a bit of questions from clients about challenging situations now that employees are working remotely. That certainly changes supervisory styles and human resource styles. So how has a remote workforce changed the workplace dynamics?
That is such a good question, Erica, because it's been very interesting. One of the things, of course, to recognize first off is that many people have already been working remotely, right? We have several people in our firm who work only remotely. So for those folks, nothing has really changed, which is interesting, right? Because for the rest of us, it's a really big deal to be teleworking. But for folks who've been doing this for a while, it's sort of business as usual. So we're getting a couple of big questions from our clients. One is, I have exempt people working at home. I'm not worried about them because I don't care what hours they're working. I just care what projects they're completing. But my non-exempt people, what time should they write down that they worked? How do I figure out if they're really entitled to overtime? How do I make sure they're taking their rest breaks and meal periods? That's a big set of questions we're getting. We're also getting workplace safety. Do I need to worry about ergonomics? What if somebody gets hurt at home? Is that going to be a workers' comp claim? So those are the two sort of major areas that we've seen.
Now, with the work schedule, I'm very empathetic and also very aware of the challenges that employers have when they talk about their hourly or non-exempt employees. Because, of course, it's so easy for employees to, quote unquote, work off the clock when they don't have to go anywhere to go to work. But at the same time, Jen, you know, with all of these school closures and kids at home and parents trying to manage their work while also helping their kids and homeschooling, you know, how can employers ensure that their employees are still clocking in, clocking out, not running into split shift issues or, you know, any of those other wage and hour issues that may arise while at the same time providing some flexibility to their employees?
Well, this is going to be an answer that some people really don't like, but honestly, part of it is just trust. It's just being able to tell your employees, this is what I expect you to do, and I need to know you're doing it. It reminds me when my daughter was younger and I had her at a child care center for a little while. And I went to check in on them without telling them that I was checking in. And I'll just suffice it to say it was the last time that she was ever at that child care center. Because I did a little check-in, right? Sometimes we need to do little check-ins to just make sure. Like, I've been calling my legal assistant when I know she should be at lunch to make sure she's at lunch, right? Just because I want them to know, hey, I'm paying attention. It's not that I don't trust you, but I know what happens when you're at home, at least when I'm at home. I don't work well at home. I want to make cookies, go outside, play with my daughter, paint a picture. So I'm not as focused as I am normally. So if I knew I had to take a rest break or a meal period, I might not do it on time. So yeah. I told our staff, look, we got to do this together. So the first thing is, let's talk about it. Let's be transparent. Hey, I'm going to call and check on you because you're supposed to be at lunch. It's not a secretive thing. It's not that anybody's doing anything wrong. So I think that's the first thing. The second thing is, people should have what I call remote work agreements. Now, there's no one size fits all here, okay? You're going to have to tailor these for each individual employee, even within the same classification, because everybody's going to have a different deal with how long do they work, when do they take their meal period. If you're forwarding your phones to people who are teleworking, you've got to make sure you have coverage. I mean, there's a lot of issues to think about there. But I think it's really important to have an agreement that sets the expectations for everybody up front. And I'm not talking about some complicated 10-page legal document. It could even just be a checklist. These are the things that we want you to think about. Let us know if you hurt yourself. Let us know if you're having any technical problems. You know, please don't work overtime unless you tell us so that we can approve it in advance. Those kinds of things are covered in agreements that I think can be really helpful in these kinds of situations.
What about employers that had teleworking policies before this all started? Is this an opportunity to review those existing policies and making necessary changes to them?
Such a great question. Here's what we're thinking about this. If you already have people who are teleworking prior to COVID-19, fine, let them keep teleworking, right? But we think you should have a COVID-19 specific telework policy for the people who are only teleworking because of COVID-19. Because here's a big issue that comes with telework. I ask you for a reasonable accommodation of my disability. And the accommodation I want is to telework. And you're thinking your job isn't amenable to teleworking, but you just let me telework for COVID-19. That's going to be a problem. And the agreement can help a little bit in terms of saying, look, this isn't ideal. We don't even think you can do all of the essential functions of your job, but for now we're going to let you do this. Only because of COVID-19. That's a really important thing to be able to set up down the road. Hey, just because I let you telework during COVID-19, that doesn't mean I'm going to let you do it now. That was a very extraordinary circumstance. I wanted you to be able to keep your job. There were ways, you know, we had lots of people teleworking, so there were ways that I could deal with that. I can't do that necessarily when it's just a one-off reasonable accommodation. So I think having those COVID-specific remote work agreements are really important.
I think that touches upon a really important aspect, and one that I know I'm seeing a lot of commentary through legal bulletins and whatnot, and that's the concern that, okay, now this employee has been able to work from home. I'm not going to be able to deny them working from home later on once all of this is over. And I think you touch upon that with when we talk about the reasonable accommodation that,
yes,
6 months ago, it may not have been a reasonable accommodation. Just because it is now doesn't mean that it will be again later.
That's exactly right. And the circumstances are going to be different, but you have to be able to explain as the employer, how are the circumstances different?
That's a really good point. Jennifer, what about reimbursement of expenses? We know that that always raises a lot of questions, and sometimes employers, they forget about their obligation to reimburse employees for reasonable expenses incurred while performing their work. How does reimbursements come into play? Like, how does an employer reimburse for internet use or their printer or paper?
That's the problem, right? It's really complicated. So one of the things that we're telling our clients to do is whatever tools or supplies you can provide to your employees, do it. So like we're telling employees, we'll drop paper off at your house. If you need stickies, whatever you need, we'll give them to you, right? So that's one thing you can do. Of course, it's much more complicated on internet usage, cell phone usage, when you wouldn't normally pay for a cell phone. Many of us have heard of the Schwann's decision, where the California court said, look, you need to reasonably reimburse people for their cell phone, even if they already had a cell phone, which of course the logic is going to apply to what they're doing on the internet as well. What we're finding is people who were not teleworking before, most companies are giving them about $50, recognizing that most people had the internet and the cell phone anyway before we asked them to telework. So you need to come up with a number that you feel like is fair. And then the really important legal issue is to tell employees, if for whatever reason you don't think this is a fair amount, we need you to tell us that. So you need to come to us and let us know that, because that's the part where it can be tricky, is when we don't give employees the opportunity to be able to speak up and say, hey, you might not realize this, but I had to go out and buy internet. I didn't have internet before, and this is why, and this is what I'm doing about it.
So, Jennifer, I think it's really important that you mentioned the fact that you should allow your employees to say, hold on a second, that's not a reasonable reimbursement. And I want to just highlight the fact that your reference to $50 isn't the golden number that all employers and employees should run off utilizing here. It's an example of what some clients may have decided is a reasonable amount based upon their individual employee circumstances.
That's exactly right, Erica. And let me add to that. We've had some interesting situations where people who were already teleworking full time are now saying, oh, my expenses went up. Okay, really? How? You were teleworking before, you're teleworking now. So there are some weird situations where things are popping up, and I think employers really have to be, A, very transparent about their expectations, but also, B, not be afraid to enforce your expectations. Make sure that people know, hey, you were already teleworking, so I'm not really getting why this is an additional expense. Or I offered you $75. I need you to tell me why that you don't feel like that is adequate. This whole situation is not subject to calculation on a calculator, right? Because the problem is, if I already had my internet and I already had my cell phone, but I'm telling you I'm spending half of my time at work, then maybe there's an argument that you should be reimbursing for half of my cell phone and half of my internet. But there really isn't, because I'm paying for that anyway. So we have to come up with a number that just feels reasonable, as you said a moment ago, based on your employee's individual circumstances.
Some more fun to deal with all of this. So let's shift gears, though, to something that we know concretely. And one of the things that we know concretely is, COVID-19 or not, employers still have an obligation to maintain a harassment-free workplace, one that's free of harassment, discrimination, retaliation, which when we think about the remote workforce situation, on the one hand, perhaps you're thinking, well, the employee is working by themselves. How could they possibly harass somebody else? But on the other, we now have a whole different element. We have Zoom, we have Skype, we have these video conferencing, we have so much technology that's being used. And I can't help but bring up the reports that you're hearing about individuals who are forgetting that they're still at work and doing, you know, video conferencing and, you know, dressing all proper from the waist up, but not so much from the waist down. And, you know, these reports of people getting up, you know, I think, oh my gosh, how, you know, I mean, it's still a reality, and we still have to maintain that harassment-free workplace, but it's almost like we had talked about a long time ago what happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas anymore, when we had talked before about harassment. The same is true, even with this remote situation.
Yes, and it's so interesting to me because I understand why people are getting confused. You know, before we were talking about how you needed to follow these rules when you were at a banquet with people from work that still felt sort of work-related. Now you're home in your PJs at 11 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, don't send that video. One of our clients sent me this video the other day of this dog. I can't tell you all the specifics. But the dog is sort of sitting next to the owner's bed and talking to the camera and basically saying, I cannot wait for these people to go back to work. I am so sick of them being on the phone and doing the TikTok all day long. All they want to do is lay by myself. Please, you know, end this ridiculous stay-at-home order. And it's full of curse words and everything, but it is so hysterical. I thought it was so hysterical. I laughed till I thought I was going to be sick. I mean, it was amazing. And it was the levity that I needed, but you cannot send that to your employee. But obviously, so I replied back to the client and said, oh my gosh, it's the funniest darn thing I've seen in a year. She called and she's like, oh my goodness, I did not realize that I really sent that to you. Like, I wasn't thinking. I'm at work and I wasn't thinking that I'm sending that to my employment lawyer. I was like, well, I'm obviously not going to sue you, so don't worry. But she forgot, right? Like, she just wasn't thinking. This is what happens when we're working at home in our pajamas.
Well, not only that, but I know that this is a different context, but if you look at the newscasters who are reporting, you know, conducting the news from home, you look at it and you go, are you really at home? I mean, the backdrop is very newscastery or very office friendly. And I think that's something that people need to remember too. If you're doing those video conferencing, take a look at what the camera is showing behind you. how much of your personal life do you want to be revealing? And not to mention, what are you revealing? I mean, this is your home. This is
That's
private,
right.
But it's not private anymore through this. So, you know, is it something that maybe employers want to consider sending some reminders to those remote employees, particularly maybe even resending the harassment, the anti-harassment policy, just as a little reminder?
I think it's a great idea, and I think it should come from the CEO or the VP of HR or the HR generalist, basically just saying, look, here's where we are. And I want to just take a moment to remind you of things that will still be here when COVID-19 is gone. We still need you to treat people professionally and respectfully. We still need to have an appropriate workplace. Your workplace right now is what goes on through your videos, through your emails, through your telephone calls.
That's fantastic, Jen, and it's a great place to end today's podcast. Thank you so much again for such insightful information as we all go through the days day by day. It's uncharted territory for all of us, but we're all doing it together. So thank you so much.
Erica, thank you so much. You know how much I love being on, and I just hope all the listeners are safe and healthy.
And thanks to all of you for listening to The Workplace. We continue to provide you entertainment and information as we all work through the days, yearning to get back to engaging with individuals live, not through the phone or through video stream. But until that, please comment, share, and subscribe to Cal Chambers Podcast by visiting calchamber.com.